passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. As a conflict within a country comes to an end and peace treaties are signed and politicians shake hands with former enemies, what happens to the people? How are they reconciled when they've lived through such horrors? Phil Vernon is from peacebuilding NGO International Alert.
Even after the fighting has stopped, in fact, long after the fighting has stopped, and when people are starting to pick up the pieces of their lives, one of the things that often fails to happen is the reconciliation. Things have happened, people have done things to other people, people feel that things have been done to them that may or may not have been done by other people, people they may be neighbours with or people have known before and have lived perfectly happily with before. And that reconciliation process, while sometimes happening naturally, often will get stalled. And the society coming out of violent conflict will come out with its wounds unhealed.
So how do you heal them?
Well, in some ways they do heal naturally, and they largely heal by processes which take place within society. I could tell you a story that I heard in Liberia where a boy went back to his hometown down in southeastern Liberia. And he's a teenage boy, made friends with another teenage boy. Hadn't known each other before, they became great friends. This was as things were getting back to normal after the war. And the boy's elder brother came back to the town 6 months or so later, discovered that he was friends with this other lad, and was aghast, horrified, said, "How could you be friends with this boy?" And the guy said, "Why not? He's a great guy." And the guy said, "Don't you know that's the man who killed our father?" And this put the first boy in this very difficult situation. He didn't really know how to feel. He had his best friend, who he'd been really getting to know over the past 6 months and had nothing actually to reconcile with. They were great friends and they did everything together. Then he discovered that this boy had been the agent of killing his own father. Now, he came to terms with that. The person who told me the story was his pastor, and they had come to terms with that. They talked it through. Even the elder brother came to terms with this friendship. Reconciliation, first of all, is an individual thing mainly, but it happens by itself often. But in many cases, it doesn't happen. The wounds are too deep, people have been too hurt, and then more formal processes need to be introduced.
And can reconciliation be facilitated? Because it seems like the kind of thing that if you tried to make it happen, somehow that in its very nature would just stop it happening.
I think sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes you get these very formal reconciliation processes, which are perhaps too formal and too similar to justice systems. And then it is difficult to bring people together, or at least certainly some people feel outside that process. I think what you have to do is you have to put together a combination of different processes happening at national level, community level, and at the very individual level. So as I mentioned before, a pastor might be very important in bringing people together, bringing two families together who are somehow divided by the conflict. Other times it's the local chief, sometimes it's local women's organisations, it could be the mosque, it can be the church. Other times it's these formal national processes of truth and reconciliation, such as happened in South Africa, which was to some degree quite successful. In the background, there are lots of informal things one can do. And one of the things we've done as International Alert is in Liberia, now 7 years after the war, every year with our local partner organisations, we've been putting on what we call peace and reconciliation festivals. Liberia is essentially a country with many, many different languages and ethnic groups, many of whom had been living pretty happily together before the war divided them and haven't yet come back. That jigsaw hasn't yet been put together completely. And one of the things that we've done with our partners is put on these annual festivals where people come together, play and listen to music, do drama, watch drama, have dance, all sort of cultural events. And the big message is unity and diversity and diversity and unity. We are different, but we're all Liberians. And actually, when I see your dance, it's a bit similar to the dance of my people, but slightly different. I recognize the difference between us, but it's dance. It plays a cultural role in your life just as the dances play a cultural role in my life.
And is this something that actually can be successfully facilitated by outside agencies like yourself? Or does it really have to be something where you're very on the fringe and nudging because the people in the country have to really do it?
I think it is, nudging is a good word. Sometimes there's a fear of these processes because just like in a personal relationship in the UK, you have marriage guidance counselling. Someone from the outside helps to nudge people together. They can't make them come back together. But an outsider can sometimes provide a framework within which people can do that. And the same applies at the larger level. An example I would give is in Rwanda, where we have a very interesting project. Now, in Rwanda, there is a real fear of reconciliation processes because the wounds are so, so deep. I mean, a million people dying. in a very short space of time, even 10 years later or 15 years later now, that it's really unhealed for many, many people. And the government itself is quite fearful about reconciliation processes, fearing that they will bring up issues which can't be dealt with in society. So in that situation, what we've been able to do is work with local organisations, bring them together, and we've played a broker role. What we do is, working in rural communities, we bring together organisations which provide microcredit facilities for relatively poor people. Another of our partners provides post-trauma healing, and another organisation is very specialised in local conflict resolution. We bring them together and sort of organise the programme in ways that probably wouldn't happen without us, but most of the work, to be honest, is done by them because they are Rwandans, they know the situation. They have the skills and the facilities to do that. So we play a leadership and a nudging role. But the reconciliation has to be done with the people who need reconciling by people who are like them and know them.
That's Phil Vernon from International Alert. And there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.